is Sultana had told Glu. She is a third-year doctoral student at the Community Health Sciences Department at the UCLA School of Public Health. Her area of interest is childhood obesity prevention, locally in the Latino and Greek communities, and internationally in the European Mediterranean countries. She has been living and studying and conducting public health research in Spain and Greece. She will be presenting the Mediterranean Diet Paradox, a systematic review of childhood obesity trends among European Mediterranean countries. Welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Castillo. Thank you, everyone, for being here. My presentation is about childhood obesity trends in the European Mediterranean countries of Italy, Spain, and Greece. And the reason why I call it a paradox is because these countries are world-renowned for the Mediterranean diet and its health benefits, yet they're experiencing among the highest childhood obesity rates in the world. A brief overview of what I will cover, background on childhood obesity, my objectives, the objectives of the study, lit review methods, some country-specific findings, the role of the Mediterranean diet in all this, ways to address childhood obesity, and some future directions. Now, just to give you an idea, childhood obesity in the U.S., about 1 in 3 children under age 18, about 25 million, are either overweight or obese, and actually Europe is catching up to that, to these rates, with about 17 million overweight and 5 million obese. The main reason why we should be concerned about childhood obesity are the health risks and complications that it carries. And the metabolic syndrome, which is basically, it hasn't quite been defined in children, but as specifically as it has in adults, but what it is basically having high blood pressure along with insulin resistance, which is basically pre-diabetes, and high cholesterol, for example, along with other health risks and complications. And up to 30% of obese children are diagnosed with metabolic syndrome. I guess I don't have to point out the countries. You can see them in the red. Spain, this is prevalence of overweight in children ages 7 to 11. Spain at about 34%, Italy at about 36%, and Greece at 31%, but more recent data actually have Greece with much higher rates. And only Portugal is close to those rates. All the other countries are much below 30 or much below 20%. Now, the objectives of this study are to describe child obesity trends in Spain, Italy, and Greece, and how child obesity is measured, to identify some risk factors, explore the role of the Mediterranean diet, and present ways that child obesity could be addressed by different sectors, family, schools, government, media. So briefly going over the lit review methods, the databases used, PubMed, Web of Science, CINAHL. The dates of the lit search occurred between December 2007 and September and October 2008. There were 38 studies that met the inclusion criteria, which included being published between 2003 and 2008 in English, to have included children between the ages of 1 and 11 and from Spain, Italy, or Greece. There isn't an internationally accepted definition of childhood obesity, and most of these studies use different standards. For example, the most common ones are the ones are by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, by the International Obesity Task Force, or a national reference of that country. And what I want to point out in this slide is the very different cutoffs. So if we look at overweight, their age and sex-specific growth curves, the CDC has classified overweight as being between the 85th and the 95th percentile, while IOTF cutoffs are between the 90th and the 97th percentile, so they're a little more conservative. And the national reference varied, but in general, it is between the 85th and the 97th percentile. Looking at the obesity cutoffs, it's above the 95th percentile based on CDC standards and above the 97th percentile based on IOTF. And again, national reference varies, but it's about somewhere above the 95th percentile. Just to give you an idea, the samples from the CDC were from the U.S., the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. The IOTF used an average from children from the U.K., U.S., Singapore, Hong Kong, Brazil, and the Netherlands. And again, the national reference is country-specific. And the ages varied. The age group was somewhere between the ages of 2 and in Spain up to the age of 24. Now, some country-specific rates. This is the prevalence of overweight and obesity in children ages 4 to 10. This is using the International Obesity Task Force cutoffs. Remember, these are a little more conservative. We see that overweight for children ages 4 to 6 at about 20% and almost 10% obese for children ages 7 to 10, about 28% overweight with about 5% obese. Now, when we look at Greece, this is the prevalence of overweight and obesity in 3 to 4 year old children, and the data is from 2003-2004. They are using two standards, the CDC and the International Obesity Task Force. And as a reminder, I have included here that the CDC is using the 95th percentile cutoff for obesity, and International Obesity Task Force is using the 97th percentile, which is why when we look at boys and we look at girls, we see right here the International Obesity Task Force much lower rates, although there isn't as big difference in overweight, much bigger differences in obesity. Looking at Italy, we see they have used three standards: the CDC, the International Obesity Task Force, and their national reference. And as we see again in the green, overweight, there isn't that much difference, but there was definitely a large difference in the estimates of obesity, and these were statistically significant. If we see the national reference, this is about 4% obese, this is 8, and this is 16. And what I'd like to point out is it's really important to identify the magnitude of the problem, because communities, governments will act differently if obesity is at 4% versus 16. Now, going over some risk factors, these are not all the risk factors. Unfortunately, there are a lot more, but these are the more commonly reported in these studies. So not to our surprise, the first two are increased consumption of fat and sugar-dense food. And just as an example, a study looked at Western European fast food establishments, specific McDonald's, and it included these three countries. And in 1980, there were less than 500, and in 2002, there were more than 5,000. So somebody must be keeping them in business. And that this trend is also similar in other fast food establishments. Also, decreased physical activity, which translates into increased sedentariness, TV, computer time. And in Spain, for example, a study reported that kids ages 4 to 12 watch 2.5 hours per day of television, and they're exposed to 54 ads, most of them about junk food. So you can imagine what happens when they go to the grocery store afterwards with their parents and they ask for 50 of those 54 items. The last two, having more than one obese parent and being of low socioeconomic status, were the most prevalent, the most reported risk factors. Overweight, adult overweight in Spain, Italy, and Greece is estimated to be between 50 and 80%, and that includes 15 to 25% obese, with Greece experiencing the highest rates. So with such high adult obesity rates and such high risk of a child being overweight or obese, having an obese parent, you can understand the magnitude of the problem. Also, another study reported by Manios in 2007 that having at least one obese parent put children had a 91% higher odds of being overweight or obese themselves. Now, I'd like to briefly go over the Mediterranean diet. A brief history. The Mediterranean diet kind of became famous around the world, you might say, when Dr. Ansel Keys performed the seven countries study. And they looked at their diet, and Italy, Greece, and Japan had the lowest rates of heart disease, cancer, and the longest life expectancy, and they attributed that to the diet, their diet. So just to give you an idea of what the traditional Mediterranean diet consists of, a lot of whole grains, fruits, vegetables, legumes, and nuts. The base fat is olive oil, cheese and yogurt, fish, poultry, eggs. And I think it's interesting to point out that if you look at here at the weekly consumption, even sweets are allowed on a weekly basis, more so than meat. Red meat is actually on a monthly basis. So, and then always good old red wine. Now, what I'm trying to show here is basically abandoning the traditional Mediterranean diet, which is actually more a lifestyle, not just a diet, and these countries having adopted in the last 10 to 20 years the more Western diet and lifestyle. So here what we see is basically during lunch at midday, a home-cooked meal enjoyed by family and friends leisurely, so there's a lot of social well-being involved here, wine, followed by the siesta, which is basically an afternoon nap. You see here what looks to be a father with his little child taking a little afternoon nap on the couch. And then even the evening followed by some sort of physical activity, taking a little walk. And this has been substituted at best, if the family has a chance to eat together, by some sort of takeout. The afternoon nap is generally a child at home waiting for the parents to get home with the company of the babysitter, also known as television, which is consuming junk food. And, I mean, I put this here just for laughs. He's taken the dog out for a walk in his car, but basically it looks like they're moving towards that, just very, very low physical activity levels. Ways to address childhood obesity, the Poor Grow Project. This is a study that was conducted by the European Commission between the years of 2004 and 2006. And basically, it provided policy options to tackle childhood obesity to different stakeholders in nine countries in Europe, including Spain, Italy, and Greece. And some of the policy options is what you see here, and the stakeholders, which ranged from parents, teachers, farmers, public health experts, the food industry, the media, etc., they basically gave their opinions about what they thought would work best. The first two that you see here were the ones that were highly supported by most stakeholders, which was basically to provide healthier school lunches and healthier vending machine options, and provide health education to the general public and to the parents. The second two were kind of in the middle. There were, by the way, these were not the only health policy options. There were about 20, 25. The food industry regulations, such as food labels and limiting ads, and policies such as banning or taxing unhealthy food items, they were not as favored because these countries do not like coercion, and they consider these coercive policy changes. And the least favorable that received almost no support was bariatric surgery, weight loss pills, or synthetic fats and artificial sweetener substitutes that we find here, for example, in the U.S. Some strengths and limitations. Almost all of the studies used large nationally representative samples, but unfortunately, the heights and weights were self-reported by the parents. Almost all the studies were cross-sectional, so we really cannot make a causal inference. And there were just different age groups. We cannot make an even comparison because of the different age groups, different data collection periods, and varying definitions, although some studies did try to include more than one standard. Going over some future directions, basically, ideally, it would be great to have a better understanding of the paradox. And what I mean by that is, initially, we went over multiple definitions or standards for childhood obesity. Maybe there should be an international consensus to adopt one definition, for example, based on health risks, or some sort of methodology for a conversion factor if we're going to use the national references, which are more representative of a country's actual obesity rates. Secondly, to further explore the role of the Mediterranean diet, again, as I mentioned, almost all the studies were cross-sectional, maybe looking at some longitudinal studies, comparing maybe a cohort that follows a Mediterranean diet more strictly with a cohort that follows a Western diet and follow them for onset of overweight or obesity. And lastly, just have a deeper understanding of the cultural beliefs and practices in order to better address childhood obesity. And what I mean by that, maybe I'll have enough time to use a little anecdote, just understanding how governments function. In Greece, for example, they have adopted the tobacco control measures that we have adopted here, basically banning smoking everywhere. If you walk into a bank, if you walk into any public place anywhere, you see the large signs, both in Greek and in English, and everybody's smoking, employees, people standing in lines. And if you ask why, they're going to tell you because it's not being enforced. Sure, a law passed, but we're not being monitored. No one is going to close down our establishment. Police officers are waiting in line to and smoking. So if it's not being enforced, we need to understand why and how to enforce certain policy changes. And I would like to leave you with something you may have heard. This generation of children may be the first to experience a shorter lifespan than their parents as a consequence of obesity and its complications. Given that public health, technological, and medical advances have helped us prolong life and improve its quality, why would we want to reverse this trend? Thank you.
Next, we have Ms. Jennifer Nelson and Michelle Del Toro. They are second-year MPH students at Case Western Reserve University. Their project is on a health needs assessment about a water system in the Dominican Republic.